ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back better than ever. Where would we rather be? You know the drill. You got Joey D, top left shelf. You got Mikey V on the bottom right there. Fellas, welcome to the program. Welcome to the Brilliantly Dumb Show. How are we?
Just great.
I'm going to need a little more than that. Joseph, how are you today, sir?
I'm excellent. I'm doing great.
What do you
mean? Our dear friend Michael has been banged early on.
Yeah,
tough scene on the flight home from Chicago, that is.
Sure was. What is that? A nice, walnut?
I'm seeing is that more of a macadamia
nut?
That's
a pecan. That's a pecan.
Is that a pecan?
A big old pecan.
Yeah, you got a pecan. Fellas, let's get into it. I'm going to start off with saying, to me, that was the most fun I have ever had with you guys in Breezy Chicago. I mean, the Rayos night will probably go down as the most special night, but that, to me, was the most fun I have ever had with you guys at Breezy Chicago.
Yeah, that was top to bottom. Top to bottom, you can't really beat that trip. I sound like Eddie Ogeron right
Whoa,
now.
This guy.
That's just the way it's going to be.
Vocal cords have taken a beating.
We had it was a long weekend, Joe.
Mike is a broken man. He tore his patella. Well, that's what we're saying anyways. Are you still limping?
Meniscus.
A little limp going on, but we're
so it's better because
We're battling through. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Fuck Alabama.
And go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I just sound like Eddie O. I just can't go over. Knee is good. Long weekend. Listen, that was top to bottom, man. The pre-party, the day of, the course, the setup. Everyone had just incredible energy. And it was just an insane list. I think the guest list at the Breezy itself was just from fans to other golfers and athletes and personalities. And I just think everyone really seemed to get along very well. Most of us got along very well. I think everyone was kind of on a really good vibe for the most part. And I just thought it went so well. And that course setup was just iconic. I mean, you want to talk about going from outhouse to penthouse, from New York to and nothing against New York, but my hole I'm talking about specifically, outhouse to penthouse with the hole that I had. Our hole was rocking and rolling all day, man. It was a shit show at my
Mike,
hole.
You've seen the New York tournament, and then you've seen this one. And I can tell you that, in my eyes, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the best tournament that we've ever done. I mean, it was an absolute. Now, look, 27 holes was a lot of holes. There was a time.
Oh, it was a gauntlet.
Yeah, that was the only thing that was.
That's
like.
That's the only thing. 27 was a. There was a time I was telling Joe, I got so hammered at my hole because I thought there was like an hour and a half left. Honest
yeah,
to
yeah,
God,
yeah. I had the same epiphany.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I know I'm hammered right now, but I can carry this into the awards ceremony. Like, I'm okay.
Yes. Yes.
And I remember looking at my clock and seeing 4 hours left. I was like, oh, my. Like, I got to dig deep here. Joey D, your thoughts.
I had a blast. It was exhausting. It was an exhausting weekend from start to finish. It was I felt like I went like 5-6 rounds with Tyson. My body went through it. But that being said, I mean, it was a great tournament. It always is. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed having Mikey there.
I did too.
And I think it's safe to say, like, we just don't see the guy very often. And so, like, getting to hang out with him, getting to do college football Saturday. Now, he's a nutcase. He's a nutshot for the games.
I want to address that. That needs to be addressed. That needs to be addressed, Bob. God. Because hold on before this gets
what a
pretzel.
Tough watch. What a tough watch. I really would. Go ahead,
can
Mikey.
I talk?
Go, okay. Sure.
Okay. So I'm gonna address this. I'm going to nip this in the bud before Bob already tried to pretzel it into his little Instagram post where he posted me freaking out about Ohio State. I had said, and you could rip receipts off of this podcast for weeks leading up to that, that I was going to be in a different type of mental state for that game because that's the way I get with big time Ohio State games. I don't get like that with the Bears anymore because they're just so terrible that they're just so like yesterday. You had to see when we were streaming the games yesterday and I was watching that Bears game yesterday, there was zero. I had zero emotion. Like, I don't even care anymore. I'm so But for Ohio State games, man, that puts me in a different kind of a place. It does. And the fact that everybody had Notre Dame, and, you know, everyone was rooting for Notre Dame pretty much. A lot of people were rooting for Notre Dame. Mr. Smiggs wasn't rooting for Notre Dame. Mr. Smiggs,
he had every which. I remember turning and saying, Mr. Smiggs, you know, Mr. Smiggs, what bet do you have? He had like a fucking reverse teaser go. Like he had an emotional hedge.
I couldn't believe he
had a whole list of things he bet on.
Yeah, yeah. But in the end, you know, that one video clip would make it seem like I'm being so overbearing and obnoxious. But that's just the way I watch. That's why I don't watch these games in public. I don't watch these games in public because I know how I am. And I gave fair warning about that. I gave very fair warning about that.
Seeing Jersey Jerry go at Mikey V.
Yeah, that was good. And I will say, I will say, Jersey Jerry did get him a little riled up because Jerry was coming at him. So Jerry was instigating a lot of that. And by the way, we're going to play the Jerry clip on this show, which to me is quite possibly the most unbelievable gambling rant I have ever heard in my lifetime. Mikey, if you, and I love you to death, and you would be on the altar for me, okay? You would be on the altar for me. Whoa, I'm just saying, that's how much I love the guy.
Why do we need to even bring that up again?
I'm just saying, just to show how much
I think Cutsy may be turning a corner on that, though.
I think too. I think you guys had a big weekend.
I think it was a big weekend.
Let me ask you, Joe, does the altar change now?
No.
Not even any consideration.
I said it was wonderful spending time with you, and I said you're a great friend to me. But what are we talking? We're talking about people that I've known for my entire life, in, you know, like people who I have spent time with for tens of years.
But I'm just saying, like, you couldn't consider like upping the party one person.
What are we doing here, Bob?
I'm not going to beg, Bob. I'm not going to beg.
Michael, you will be invited to my wedding.
No, let me tell you something. I will break bread with you. Forget about being invited. If I wasn't invited to the wedding, there would be a major. We'd have a major.
I said we will break bread together. We will sip champagne together, and it will be a night unlike any other.
Speaking of champagne.
Oh, yeah. We owe Mikey
sponsor alert.
The Brilliantly Dumb Show could be brought to you by our good friends over at Corbell. Corbell.
Possible sponsor. Crisp. Hold
clean.
Now. Now, I would say, if you, Joe is a very dear, loyal, loud Packer fan as well. If you gave me the option to watch 10 Packer games with Joe compared to 10 Ohio State games with Mikey V, I will watch 10 Packer games with Joe every single time. The tight end for Ohio State, every time he makes a catch, Mikey stands it up. A 2 All-American tight end right there. Nobody else could have
Mr. Kate Stover. That is an All-American tight end.
Nobody else could have any opinion on the game or have.
That's such horseshit. That is such horseshit. No, because
even like, you know what really bothered me that he did? What really bothered me? They're reviewing a first down, and I thought that Notre Dame had got the first down. Mikey V is saying, oh, no, they didn't get the first down. And I say, oh, I think he might have got it. Not in an obnoxious way. He goes, Mikey goes, yeah, you just go keep eating your pasta, Bob. Nobody else can have an opinion about the game and about what's going on. And I'll tell you this.
In his defense, and I'm not taking sides, you were very engaged with the dinner setting up until like the last
15
minutes of the game.
Yeah. Guy was too busy chomping down fucking Spumoni.
You know what it is?
He wasn't worried about the fucking tight end from Notre Dame.
Bob was having a great time, and I can't take that away from him.
Oh, it was a great time. What a great time.
It was a great spread, but Bob, you kind of got engaged like the last 15 or 20 minutes of the game.
Do you know why, though, Joe? Because I was in with him for the beginning of the game, and I wanted nothing to do with it after that. I said, you know what? I'm going to go into it. I really did. Nobody else could say anything about the game. You know what I mean?
My favorite was Mikey V. For his expertise and knowledge of football, he was jumping the gun on calls left, right, and center.
They threw
the late flag for a face mask, and it was actually an intentional grounding, and he blew a gasket.
By the way, that was a horrific missed call. That was a horrific missed call.
So
that was a horrific missed call, and everyone knows it. Everyone knows that video.
I finally snapped because in that video he got up again. He was
wrong.
Yeah,
you
about
called me an idiot three times, by the way, which was totally unnecessary. You're a real idiot, man. You're a real idiot. You're an idiot.
Well, you told me to keep eating my. You told me to keep eating my pasta.
I said that once, not three times. Telling someone to keep eating pasta and calling them an idiot three times, I'd say there's a big difference there, Bob.
But it was. I'm just saying it was a different type of thing to where I.
That's why I don't go out in public for those games.
I should like maybe
you.
I know, and I don't. I don't. But I was in a situation where there was no other choice. We were
now,
going to this
again.
There was no other choice.
I will say later in the game, Jersey Jerry had then a bet on Notre Dame, which he got banged on because he's the coldest gambler on the face of the earth. Jersey Jerry was definitely stirring the pot, but it did come to a point where I didn't just want to watch the game. I wanted to socialize with the family and be in the mix for that. So that's why I did then go over to the table, and we're going to get to Joey D, who's got his hand up, but also to the Smeriglio family, quite possibly the most amazing spread I've ever seen. Holly V spreads, of course, are up there. The Smeriglio fam, unbelievable. Joey D, we go over to you.
I just like to like maybe think like Mikey V. I'm a little bit concerned that some of these teams that you follow are going to be detrimental to like your health moving forward because you get so enthralled in the game.
Sure,
like
sure.
I think, you know, and the Bears are one thing. I think at this point now you realize the Bears are a lost cause.
Yeah, so least- no, I'm done with them. So like I swear on my kids, bro. I telling you, watching that game yesterday with Big Cat. We're just both sitting there and we're talking to each other and we're just looking at it like
there's a laughing stock of the league.
They don't even let you, you don't even have a chance to get involved in the game. There's not even a chance to like even have any kind of a good feeling about
you.
You
had to know they were going to get blown out yesterday. You had to know that.
Oh, 100%.
They're the laughing stock of the league.
Took Chiefs first half over 14 and a half total team points.
You hit that by a mile.
Bad.
That's a winner.
Yeah,
you could have put that in again after you hit the first.
So the next day, Mikey V goes and does the live stream with Big Cat at the Chicago Barstool office. I probably watched more of the stream than I did even the games because that was very when Mikey told me that was going to happen. That to me was Big Cat's my idol. I think Big Cat is one of the best to ever do it in this, you know, ridiculous career that we have. Big Cat's one of the best to ever do it. So to watch the stream, I thought was fucking awesome.
Let me tell you something. Big Cat. No. So we watched the 1 o'clock, the first half of the threes, and then Big Cat went and recorded PMT. But then we came back for the night game, but then he was recording PMT during the second half of that game or whatever. We didn't do the second half of the 4:30 games. We cut it. But, bro, this guy, let me tell you something. This guy, the reason he is where he is, this guy was doing work an intern would be doing at fucking – he was fucking grinding the entire time on his laptop, fucking right blogging. This – like really, like you could see why – He's made it to the point where he's made it because this guy is a fucking grinder, dude. And to be as involved in everything as he is and to still be doing that and to still be wanting to do all that work and still wanting to be recording a podcast at that hour and then still staying until the end of the night games and he's there at 11 o'clock in the morning. I mean, dude, I'm beat the fuck up from yesterday. That's a long day, especially being on that camera the whole day. That's a long, long day.
Yeah,
and then record a pod in the middle of that is just outrageous. I mean,
yeah,
good for him. Nope. Good for him.
Yeah, and he's been doing it for such a long time, and he doesn't put himself above anybody. Like, obviously, he's the number two guy. He's one of the highest ups there in Barstool. He just cashed out for a ton. He's so humble. You would never know it. He doesn't put himself above anybody. I idolize the guy. I really do.
He's hysterical. People think that we're brothers or some shit.
You guys do look alike. I mean, I don't think
they do though. Like now seeing him in person, like they're very, very different. I think, I don't know to me anyway. I don't know. Once in a while I could see it, but maybe not. I don't know.
I used to
think that a lot and then not so much anymore. I don't know.
I definitely see some sort of resemblance to it for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the Brownlee Dumb Show to let you know that the Brownlee Dumb Show is brought to you by the fine folks over at Athletic Greens. I use Athletic Greens every single morning. It gives me better gut health, more energy, an optimized immune system, and you just cannot go wrong. It's a terrific way for me to start my day. Athletic Greens supports better sleep quality and recover, supports mental clarity and alertness. You cannot go wrong. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every single day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Just one scoop into some water and you're good to go. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/dumb. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/dumb to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Get Athletic Greens today. And then the thing that I want to play that I got to get into, because I actually think it's worth it to play the entire thing. I think it's one of the funniest things. Jersey Jerry, who obviously dear friend of the pod, had an absolute meltdown after the Notre Dame game. Notre Dame was down 10. Jerry hasn't hit. He's 0 for his last 20 bets. He puts in a live bet on Notre Dame to come back. He got, what did he get it at, Mikey? Plus 380?
Yeah, he got a good number. Yeah.
And he puts a fortune on it. He can't hit a bet and then loses that game the way. And then he said, Joe, you saw him go out to the car to snap?
He seemed very composed when we said bye. He was kind of quiet. And then when we were leaving to get the Uber, I saw the Telluride was right outside, like parked on the street. And he was just sitting in the front seat. I didn't know what he was doing. I think he was just like melting down. I don't know.
So, Mikey, did he put in a bet at all yesterday?
I don't know. I would say he definitely didn't openly put in a bet yesterday.
Yeah, he.
However, so that pick that we went nuts on the Barstool gambling page was Austin. He gave the Calvin Austin touchdown prop. And what happened was me, Big Cat, took Devontae Adams to score a touchdown, Calvin Austin to score a touchdown, over Calvin Austin total yards, over Devontae Adams total yards. And then Big Cat had a bunch of other stuff. But I had those four in a parlay. But what I thought I had done when I put the parlay in was anytime touchdown score. But I didn't. I accidentally put it in as first quarter touchdown score. So they had a score in the first quarter. No, Joe.
That's better.
The odds were skyrocketed because of how much more difficult, obviously, that is to hit. So when that hit, I mean, I lost my mind. I mean, I went insane because that was that was a great hit.
So we're gonna play the Jersey Jerry clip. So then he goes, and I wish he had a camera on this so you could see his face. And I sent it to Joe when I had saw it. Jerry goes on an all-time Jersey Jerry rant and him announcing that he is going to quit gambling. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to play that rant now. Big Ticket, if you could go ahead and fire that up.
I gotta get this off my chest. I gotta get this off my fucking chest right now. Where'd my Twitter space go? All right. I gotta get this off my chest. I really don't give a fuck who says what. I really don't give a fuck. Number one, I wanna preface this by saying this. I'm the coldest gambler on the planet. That's number one. That's number one. Number two, I want to say this. That's the worst beat of my whole entire career, sports gambling. That is the worst beat I ever fucking been through in my life. Everybody's talking about Ryan Day this, Ryan Day that, the post-game speech. I don't give a fuck what he said about the guy that got one foot in the grave already. I don't give a fuck about that part, okay? Did anybody see number two drop the interception? Did anybody see that? I mean, you couldn't have drew it up better. Notre Dame, listen, Notre Dame should be ashamed. I don't, they should be ashamed of that. That was, they had no business, no business losing that game the way they played tonight. They were incredible on defense. They ran the ball great. When they needed to make big plays, they made big plays. And listen, I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I'm not an Ohio State fan. I don't give a fuck about either team. I bet the wrong side. Yes. Yes, I did. But nobody besides me on Twitter is talking about this fucking Notre Dame number two collapsing and not making that fucking play. That's pathetic. That's disgusting. You're a safety for the Irish. The fighting Irish. You're supposed to have some sort of fucking hands. That was downright fucking embarrassing. Embarrassing. How do you allow that team to go down the field like they did? How do you give up fourth downs? How? How does that, how do you give up that fucking play, that pass, right by the goal line? How do you do it? That's the only place they can throw the ball in that situation. That was one of the worst beats I have ever, ever, ever witnessed in my entire life gambling. My entire life. My entire life. So you know what you do when that happens? When a beat like that happens, you got to step away. You got to just step away. You got to just step away sometimes and say to yourself, when's enough enough? I've been getting fucked in the ass for the last 3 weeks. They've been fucking reaming my ass nonstop. They've been fucking me so hard, I can't take it any longer. They've literally, the books, literally the last 3 weeks, have said to themselves, oh, JJ, Jersey Jerry, Barstool Sports, that guy. Yeah, bend him over, spread his ass cheeks as far as they can go, and let's fuck the shit out of him. Let's fuck him. That's what I've been going through for the last 3 weeks. I've been getting bad beat after bad beat after bad beat. So guess what? I'm sorry, Barstool Gambling Company. I can't do it no more. I just can't. I just can't do it anymore. It is, that game is going to haunt me for the longest time ever. And it only gets worse. After a loss like that, it always gets worse. Always, always, always gets worse. That was one of the worst things I have ever been through in my entire life. In my entire life, that was one of the worst beats I have ever, ever, ever encountered. And people are mad. Oh, Jerry, they're just kids. They're not just kids. Shut the fuck up. They're not just kids. They're football players. They're men. M-E-N. You know what that spells? That spells men. Men. Grown men. They're not kids. Stop saying they're kids. Because they're not kids. They're men. But I got nothing left. I got nothing left. I got nothing left. I'll root for my Steelers tomorrow. I'll get my heart broken again, maybe. Who knows? But That was actually disgusting. Disgusting the way Notre Dame. And hey, I'm not taking anything away from Ohio State. They played to the last snap. They played to the last snap. They scored on the last play. Credit to them. Notre Dame, they should be ashamed. That coaching staff, those players should be ashamed at what they did the last minute of that game. Because that was downright fucking pathetic. Pathetic. P-A. How do you spell pathetic? P-A. P-A-T-H. P-A-T-H-E-T-I-C. Pathetic. That was pathetic. So, what do we do now? What do we do now? Well, parked in front of my house. We go inside. We take a shower. We shut the phone down. And we go to bed. And we go to bed. And tomorrow's another day. But best believe me, I might have to make a statement. I'm retired. I'm retired from sports gambling. I'll say it now. Breaking news. You want to post it, post it. I'm retired from sports gambling. That's it. I'm just retired from sports gambling. It is what it is. Maybe I'll be back next year. Who knows? I've officially retired from sports gambling. I'll see you guys in the funny papers.
Just in all, I mean, it's one of... Mike, have you heard the whole thing?
So I haven't heard the whole thing, but I know from the first part of the clip was hysterical. And then the fact that yesterday he had like a graphic made up where it was like him on like he superimposed his face on something. He's like, I got one more in me. That was like the graphic. So he wanted to be back so bad yesterday and he just held off. I mean, he held off as long as he could hold off. And then obviously his Steelers got the win last night. So that was good to see for him because it was fun rooting for them. Because I mean, it's just no fun rooting for my team anymore. And Bob, the Jets are in the same boat now with Wilson. It's like, you don't even want to watch the game. I mean, it's like, it's so brutal. At least the Jets
Bobby had the under though.
Yeah, I sure did. Good. Yeah, I sure did. Good. Joey D has been ripping me pick after pick after pick. He's hot. He's really hot right now. And anytime there's an under, he knows to give me a call because the unders I could do it. There's nothing better to bet. I can't get enough.
I like a little under tonight.
I would love to do. You like the under tonight?
I like the under in the Philly game.
You do, huh?
I sure do.
Okay.
I'm thinking about giving it out as an only subs pick. Obviously, the game will be over by the time everyone hears this. So, but yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the under. I'll have the final decision on that. But yeah.
Wow, Michael.
We had a good day yesterday.
You've been running good.
4-1 yesterday, NFL. Big Cat was tailing a lot of those picks. A lot of the guys in the studio. Everyone was riding each other's like I didn't really want to do some of the stuff, but like once everyone's putting it in, it's like, all right, I'm gonna ride.
When you have a group of guys and people are willing to ride together,
there's nothing
better. It's like the camaraderie. Like we went in that DraftKings sports book next to Wrigley Field. By the way, if you live in the Chicago area. That place is unbelievable. But when you're riding together.
Food was great. Beer was ice cold.
That artichoke dip that they had, that spicy one, was
magnificent. Magnificent. It really
was. It was very good for like a bar scene. But like we were riding a couple things, which all hit, by the way. And when it does, it's like it's just fun because you're all in it together. You know, we're in that DraftKings thing. And it's like vibes were high. You're all rooting together. It's like you have like. You have the brotherhood with you. Like it feels like you have a better likelihood to hit when you have multiple people riding with you.
Yep. Plus two, you know, the losses don't feel as bad because you're at least sharing the loss with everybody. You know what I mean? Like you're not the only one that.
Well, you have some lone wolves out there like Jet who will just simply never tell you what they're.
Yeah, on. No. I mean, by the way, you thought Jerry was a pretty cold gambler. Jet started firing out picks on his Twitter. He's 0 for his last 10.
Is he really?
I have never won a golf bet that Jet has given me. I am 0 for 50 on golf bets that he's given. I've never won.
But then at some point, you got to hold yourself accountable, Bob. You keep riding and you keep losing. Yeah, like, I mean, at some point, you got to.
Yeah. But
you know what will happen? The one that you don't ride with him on, he'll hit.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going to hit, man. Usually I'd say yes, but I don't think he's hitting anytime soon. All right, boys, let's go ahead and let's get into our buy and sell segment. Why don't we go ahead? What did you like of the week that you saw? What did you not like that you saw? Mikey V, you want to give us a start?
Man, this is a tough one. There's so many things I could buy, and there's so many things that from the weekend. There's so many things I could buy from the weekend. There's so many things I could sell from the weekend. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna sell. Joe, you want to go? Do you know what you're gonna fire off right away?
Yeah, I'm okay, selling
go
ahead. This week.
Let Joe go because I'm still. I got so much in my brain going on. Go ahead.
Listen, man. I don't want to come across, you know, as ignorant or like too tough on people, but I got to hold these young kids to a standard that should be held by everyone. And I hate, by the way, I'm going to preface this. I hate when you say, when you talk about college athletes and people say they're kids. And by the way, in Jerry's rant, he goes over it to say, they're not kids. They're adults and they are bourgeoning into superstars who are going to become millionaires. So I am going to sell this week college kickers. I don't understand for the life of me when you have one job and one job only, how so many of these young kickers can be so horrifically bad. This Clemson kid, 29-yard field goal to pretty much put them in a position to win a massive game against Florida State, who is ranked and who is, you know, for all intents and purposes, on the up and coming for people to make the playoff. A massive game for this Clemson team. And this young man has one responsibility, to walk onto the field and make a 29-yard field goal. We ain't talking 49, 39, 29 yards. How is this kid on the team when he shanks a field goal? And during the game, I looked at Mikey and I said, Mikey, we need this right now. Because for some reason, I just thought, you know what? If this anybody could screw it up, I'm not trying, Mikey.
Then why is it being brought up if I'm not going to be thrown under the bus?
Because it's so absurd.
Why?
Because your reaction is absolutely right. It's a 29-yarder, and you looked at me and you said, it's a chip shot. He's going to make it. And the kid shanks it outrageously. And you know what? It's so often that these kids nowadays, they can't kick the football. Like, I'm not even asking for a 40-yarder, a 29-yard field goal, and this kid loses the game for everybody. And I go on a tyranny, and everybody's like, oh, it's just a kid, you know, he missed. No, it's more than that. This is a massive game for the program, for the school, for everything, and this kid should be ashamed of himself. And it's not just him. It's kickers all around the country who are just absolutely brutal. How they're making these teams, I don't understand. You have one job. Meanwhile, the quarterback has to throw, run, duck, dodge, dive, freaking everything else. And all these kid needs to do is kick a field goal through the post.
Mikey, what did Cutsy, and I've heard him say it before, what did he get up and yell at TV? He said
I remember vividly.
He said something.
So the kid misses. The kid misses the field goal. And in the middle of the whole table, there's like, I don't know, eight other people at the table. There's DraftKings rep there. There's you know, some of our bosses there. And he just stands up and he screams, you should hang your head in shame. Hang your head in shame.
No, I actually said this kid should be ashamed of himself. He should bury his head in the sand.
No, you said hang your head in shame, Joe. It was hang
I might have said both.
Still good. Did, very good either way.
By the way, I think I took it pretty good. I didn't explode. I was quiet for the first minute.
You absolutely exploded.
Listen, I probably would have exploded too, but you 100%
exploded. Yo, but what do you mean you didn't explode?
For the first minute, I was in such shock, Bob. I didn't say anything. I was just like this. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing with my eyes. It's just a shame. And you know what? Here's the other thing is that in the NFL level, kickers are incredible. They barely miss. You saw yesterday somebody made a 62-yarder, 55-yarder, 57. So where is the gap coming from when these kids are coming from college? They can't make a 30-yard field goal. And then they're expected to go into the NFL and hit 50s with their eyes closed.
Do you know, you remember the name? The one that I couldn't wrap my head around. Do you remember Robert Aguero from Florida State?
Yeah. Was his first name Robert?
He went with the Buccaneers. I remember how big he was. A first round draft pick.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
He was the first round draft pick. The guy couldn't miss a kick in college. And I know this is contrary to what you're saying, Joe. Usually it is the other way around. And then he got to the NFL and he couldn't make a kick. So I wonder.
That's the inverse.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then he couldn't make a kick. And I don't know if it's the different football.
Well, there's a lot of pressure when you're a first round kicker.
Yeah, I mean, it just...
But still, though, that's crazy. Yeah, no, no, 100%.
And he's not around.
I'm going to tell you who else, by the way. There was Mike Nugent, who was a Jets kicker for a long time, sure. Bob. He was legitimately... They had like a nonsensical Nugent for Heisman campaign in Ohio State when he played there. Like, they were so... Like, because he was so good in college. And he wasn't that good as a pro. He just wasn't. He just wasn't like a great kicker. And it's bizarre when they're that good in college and they're just not in the NFL. I
get it.
But the ball is a little bit different. I think the dimensions of the post, I don't know if they're still different, but they used to be, I think, a little bit different, if I'm not mistaken, either height-wise or width-wise, a little bit different. The ball certainly is different. The hash mark lineups are a little bit different. But college kicking is brutal right
also
now.
Also, too,
it's awful,
I mean,
man. A lot and of it affects the games too. Like,
who are you telling, bro? New Year's
decisions.
Eve last year, I watched my kicker sail one fucking 50 yards off to the left to lose.
But that was a long kick.
That was a
53.
It was
a long kick.
Yeah, it was nowhere near. If you're gonna miss,
it wasn't
a kick,
even close.
No, that's what sucked. You didn't have a moment to even think. You know that? No. You really didn't. There's nothing worse. But a lot of these college atmospheres are more hostile than the NFL, depending where you are. You know what I mean? It's pretty wild.
Bob, if you had one job and you couldn't do it in any other workforce like setup, like if say you were at the front desk and you didn't know how to check someone in, like you couldn't complete a check-in, how long do you think you would be at that front desk for?
Yeah, well,
I just think that we got to hold them to a higher standard. In every other facet of the world, if you can't do your job, you get replaced. These kids can't make a kick, but they still stay on the team. It's mind-boggling to me. You start getting some guys from Australia, and you're those rugby union guys who could kick the ball through the hoop.
First ever job I had, Pizza Palace. I could not get a hold of the cash register. Honest to God, I couldn't figure out the cash register, and eventually they just.
I thought your first job was the gas pump.
That was the second after I got fired from Pizza Palace.
And you got fired both back to back?
Sure did.
Pizza Palace.
Pizza Palace, Randolph, New Jersey. And my dad got me the job and because he knew the guy. And eventually the guy called my dad. He's like, look, he just can't figure it out. True story.
Hey, folks, Joey Cold Cuts here. Wanted to take a brief moment out of the episode to let you know that we have partnered with the good people over at DraftKings. Because football is simply more fun when you're in on all the action. So here's what you gotta do. Download the app now and sign up with the code DUMB, D-U-M-B. New customers can bet as little as $5 and receive up to $200 instantly in bonus bets. What a time to be alive. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. When you use code DUMB, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, 21 and age up varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Jeez. My cell, if you don't mind, Mikey, I'm going to jump ahead. My cell is going to be, first off, I'm not bagging the city of Chicago because I was actually blown away by Chicago. That was the first time I've ever been. I loved it. I really did. I thought
it was
nice awesome.
City.
Yeah, really, really. You know, it's so much, from what we saw, 10 times cleaner than New York City. Not even close.
Way cleaner than LA.
That's what they always say.
Yeah, I thought Chicago would be similar to New York City. Not at all.
No, that's the whole, big like appeal with Chicago. They always say it's like the cleanest big city.
Really, really liked it. But with that being said, we had our 5-iron event before the Breezy event, and a couple fans came by and brought us a Lou Malnati's pie, which is their signature deep dish pie that they're known for. Apparently, you got to wait like an hour. Like, you got to really pre-order it and whatever. And I really appreciate it because I really wanted to try it. I don't get the deep dish, man. I'm selling deep dish. And apparently,
I thought the sauce was good. I thought it was pretty good overall.
But it's just the overall concept of the deep dish. It's all just a big casserole. Like
you have to hold it to a different standard. You're comparing it to a New York slice.
But
you
that's what I'm saying. To me, it just doesn't. To me, it's
you have to you have to judge it independently, not like compare it to a New York slice.
It does. Like I couldn't imagine. Not to say that I wouldn't eat it because I would, but I would never get excited for that type of pizza rather than like a New York slice. You know what I mean?
think that if you're not into that, now I think that the dough itself, I think a lot of people get like freaked out, the deep dish, like the dough is going to be too doughy. I actually think the phyllo dough or whatever dough that is that they use is actually, it's not bad. I think it's very like fluffy and light, as opposed to like you think it's too thick when you're going to bite into it. It's not like eating a Sicilian pie out here. It is lighter. But yeah, I'll just never be a deep dish person ever. I like thin crust pizza. I always will. I mean, I'll eat the deep dish. Don't get me wrong. And I'll enjoy it. But I 100% prefer regular thin slice New York style.
Not even close. Yeah.
It's my opinion.
And that, by the way, I mean, of course, there'll be other spots where people will recommend that you can go. Lou Malnati, from what I'm concerned, that's supposed to be like the go-to, like one of the oldest.
What was solid was the Portillo's.
Joey D had Portillo's. Now that I feel I'm disappointed I didn't get to try, because that sounds like it could. You want to talk about solid, by the way. How about the Smeriglio family, Mr. Smiggs, bringing out sausage and pepper sandwiches for a starter?
It was almost like a sausage and pepper slider, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the way
you
did it.
Sure,
was small. They did it. That was very smart of him.
With
very
the normal charcuterie board to begin with, the charcuterie board. I could have just gone off on that to begin with, but I knew there was so much more food coming. The pasta, the meatballs, homemade meatballs, the cutlets with the little capers on them. That was fantastic. Yeah.
And the chicken cutlets.
Did you try the spaghetti alli olio too? They brought that out at the end.
Sure did.
And it had like a little spicy little, oh, it was great.
That might have been one of the best chicken cutlets I've ever had.
It was done differently. Yeah,
it was done differently. It had a different taste to it. It had a different taste to it, those chicken cutlets. I don't know if it was the capers or if it was like a little more lemony
sauce on it. Yeah.
Yeah, a little different. That has to be
the first time I've ever stayed in a city because of the spread coming that day. Like
you would have been out Saturday morning early.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Not
we
even Saturday.
We had to meet DraftKings.
Well, that's what true. I'm saying. But Jet and Ticket had gone. Like Jet went and left that night, to where that was an option to get home for football Sunday the next day. I wanted to stay so bad to have that night with everybody. And it was one of the most enjoyable. I mean, that was a blast.
Let me tell you something. Bro, they just didn't stop.
I felt bad. They kept asking between Smiggs and then his mom and his dad. Like, they kept asking me, you need something. Even at the end, before we left, they had like bottles of water for us as we left to go in the Uber.
The like alcohol, the
Rocky then Road gelato,
the Rocky
espresso
Road
espresso martini.
That's true.
To end the night off, and then it was just like nonstop. Yeah.
They had the stuff. They were doing homemade stuffed blue cheese olive martinis. Dirty
I didn't
martini.
Do one of those. And I regretted it.
Yeah, at the very beginning, Mikey I spotted one out of the corner of my eye. I said, "Is that blue cheese stuffed olives, Mrs. Smith?" She's like, "Oh yeah, absolutely. Here, let me make one of those."
She's an angel.
Thank God, Mikey. There was nothing. One of the lowest feelings I've had in quite some time, and I've had some low ones. There was nothing worse than walking into their house empty-handed and then watching the people that they invited bringing bottles of wine and beer, and looking at them bringing that in was the most horrifying. It was awful. It was really awful. Thankfully, Mikey went to a liquor app to get the liquor delivered. And he bought a bottle of Dom, which we still got a Venmo for you, by the way, a $400 bottle of Dom just to get something.
Yeah, and you know what, though? So here was the thing with that, though. People got to understand. We went to that meeting with DraftKings, and then it's an hour ride from Wrigleyville to the Smiggs' house. We couldn't go back to the hotel. We certainly couldn't find a liquor store. We had no idea where we were.
We could barely get the Uber.
We couldn't even be, we could barely get an Uber. And by the way, that Uber driver, man. Screw that!
That was obnoxious.
It was obnoxious. Bob.
He was driving. You gotta explain the story. He was driving a van that he treated like it was a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, right. And meanwhile, there was empty bottles of water all over the floor. Right.
Mikey opens the door to get in the front seat.
I opened the door.
And just
by the way,
the shit out of it on the curb.
Okay, because the curbs in Chicago, as we know now, are like double regulation height curbs. I found that out the hard way. Right? So I opened the door. It barely scrapes the bottom of the door. The guy jumped out of the car.
He ran around.
Like he was driving a G-Wagon. Now, no disrespect. I would never intentionally try and ding your car up, whether it was a 97 Camry or a brand new Escalade. I would never do it intentionally. He jumped out of that car and gave me a look and muttered.
Well,
on
no, he didn't even say that. He said, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
And like, ran around.
And I looked at it. There was not even a single scrape. There was nothing. So then when I got into the car and I see all the empty bottles all over the floor, I go, "Here, is this yours?" And I handed it to him.
I didn't hear that.
Made a comment to now. He said, "Here, is this yours? I didn't want to step on your bottle and damage your bottle."
I didn't say there was nothing about damaging the bottle, Bob. That's an addition. That's an add-on.
Meanwhile, Perez was in the back almost dead, lying across the back seat.
Perez on Saturday was just...
This guy, when Perez is hungover, you don't get him back till 5 or 6 o'clock at night. When you have a hungover Perez, you don't get him for the whole day. He's not with you that day. He was with us, but he was not with us.
We had to do a cut for a Callaway clip thing. You would have sworn he had to run a marathon just by sitting down there and saying a couple words. He looked like he had to go through hell's handbasket.
Well, yeah, I will say in his defense.
Poor guy was struggling.
Yeah, I was so hungry.
He should get a sponsorship with Pedialyte.
Joe. We will.
He
take,
could be the spokesperson for Pedialyte. Perez.
We will take anything.
I tell you what, I might have another fish on the line. By the way,
what's the other fish? We got another spot.
My good friends. I got a DM today from our good friends over at Dude Wipes.
Oh, Dude Wipes, that's a gentlemen. Good. That's really good.
Don't you use them? No.
I've done something.
I never step out of my house without a packet of Dude
that's
Wipes.
That's right. No, you don't. No, you
and I never really? Will. And I never
where
will.
Where do you put them in your back pocket?
Oh, yeah, Joe, who cares where I put them? I put them in a bag, put them in my pocket.
Joey's.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah. He uses it all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Really?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
Yes. Joe, we had a whole discussion them, about wet wipe usage.
Do you use them, Bob?
You haven't seen me use them on the golf course?
No.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I will not step onto a course
wallet,
unless I have
keys, phone, Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes. That's right.
I never even bought one before.
Do you guys
that's gonna change.
You guys want to get into our sponsorship? The Burnley Dumb Show is brought to you by Lean Cuisine. Keep it right, keep it tight, but eat good. The Burnley Dumb Show brought to you by Lean Cuisine. Cutsy, you're up.
Huh?
You're up. Your turn. Fake sponsors.
But Mikey hasn't done his buy or sell yet.
Mikey V, fake sponsor. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew. Do the do or don't do the do. But when you're with us, do the do.
Joey D, go ahead.
Brilliantly Dumb Show is presented to you by Budget. Breaking Muffler. Budget, budget, Bob. Budget, budget. I don't know, but what are we doing here, man?
Budget.
That's what we're going to do. Every single week, we're going to do fake sponsors till we can get a Corbell, till we can get a Dude Wipes. Mikey V, by yourself.
It's almost depressing, by the way, that we're doing
it. It is. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is. But you know what? We're going to, I'm telling you, we got some talking to do.
We're
going to
get something. We're going to get something.
I need those addresses, by the way. Side note. anyway, so... I'm going to sell based off of my experience today in the airport. I documented it today in the airport. I'm not talking the delays and the gate changes. That's one thing. O'Hare's a nightmare. Everyone knows this. Everyone says it. But this guy on this plane who delayed the flight even more because he bought a seat for his musical instrument. Let me just say this, man. Like, I get it. That cello. So the guy had a cello and I put the picture up there. And if you saw the picture, it's massive. It's like bigger than this guy. But I mean, like, I understand maybe you're afraid to check it, but there's got to be some kind of, like, limit to what we're allowed to do on these planes. Because these planes just aren't built to accommodate things like that. They're just not. You could barely fit a person in a coach seat, let alone a baby grand piano that you're carrying around on your back.
I thought it was a cello.
It was a cello, Joe. I'm just saying the thing is so massive, it looked like a baby grand piano on this guy's back. Now, so here's the thing. Guy sits down in coach, and all of a sudden, captain says, "We're ready for takeoff. We're ready to go. Sorry about all the delays today." I'm like, "Fuck yes, let's go." Guy comes storming up the front aisle, and he's like, "Listen," and I hear him over talking to the stewardess. And he's like, listen, this guy's got this instrument here and it's taking up two seats. I cannot fly on this plane. I can't do this. He says, I can't. And the guy's not wrong. The cello took up two seats. The guy only paid for one and it's taking up two seats. He goes, listen, I just want to deboard the plane. So the guy wasn't even trying to like make it like, I'm going to, you know, you got to throw the guy off the plane. You got to make him buy another ticket. You got to get rid of his instrument, whatever. He was ready to take the bullet, and he did. This guy actually got off the plane and refused to ride, and they credited him his money back. It created like another 25 minutes of delay. You shouldn't be allowed to buy a seat for an inanimate object. You just shouldn't. It shouldn't be allowed. It's preposterous. It's ridiculous. If it's a service dog, I get it. If it's another human being, I get it. But to be able to buy a seat, that's like if I bought a flat screen TV in Chicago and I wanted to bring it back to Jersey and I'm going to buy a fucking extra seat to put a flat screen. It's outrageous.
So
it's outrageous.
Were people on the plane yelling at him?
Oh, the cello guy. Living at the cello guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So were people getting upset?
Well, it was all the way in the back. I didn't hear the extra chatter. I only heard the guy who got screwed out of his seat. But I got to tell you this, I'm sure they weren't happy with cello guy. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, look,
but how is he supposed to travel with his?
Check it. Check the cello.
So, are you taking the side of cello guy?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Obviously, it's a very. But I mean, it's obviously a very important part of this young man's life. He paid for the seat. It's not like he got it for free.
But it took up two seats, though. He should have to pay for the whole.
Well, then the airline's responsible for that, not the cello guy.
Mikey, would you like to respond to that?
But wait a minute. Well, what exactly are you selling? Are you selling cellos?
What are you selling?
I am selling an airline selling seats to a non-human being.
What about my dog? I sold seats to my dog.
What did I just say about animals, Joe? I said something with a heartbeat is acceptable. You can't sell a seat to an inanimate object. It's like if I wanted to bring a fucking cactus onto the plane and I'm going to buy a seat for the cactus.
Somebody's brought a peacock on a plane once.
That's an animal, Joe. It's got a heartbeat, the peacock.
But that's ridiculous.
It's also ridiculous. Yes, the airlines have to do something. These planes have got to just... They can't sell those seats. So I'm gonna selling seats to non-living entities. You can't sell seats to a non-living entity.
Mikey, this is totally off subject here, but like I was just thinking, like, do you get upset at dog owners? Like if you're walking on the street with Dom, okay,
yeah,
and a dog comes running up to Dom and the dog doesn't have a leash on it. Do you get very upset at the owner for not having?
I haven't run into that situation, and I don't get mad when a dog goes up to him with a leash. I haven't run into the non-leash situation where it runs up to him on the leash. Every owner of a dog I've ever met has been very responsible with, like, no, come on,
right.
But Dom actually wants to, like, he gets a little.
He likes animals,
but he'll pet the dog if the dog is friendly enough.
Yeah, I just think there's some, and it happens more and more, that there's some people that walk their dog without a leash that aren't very well trained.
Yeah,
and
I'd say that's unacceptable.
They just
I got bit by a dog 2 weeks ago.
And they just...
What?
Yeah, he did.
Why was this dog not documented?
I was walking to the gym in my apartment complex. This dog was off leash. It was like a little Boston Terrier. I was like, hey, buddy, what's up? And
hey, buddy.
And it like literally bit me in the fucking thigh. I was ready to kick the thing off. And the owner was like, no, Winston, no. And I was like, I didn't realize it had bit me. And then I walked by and I had two little pierce marks on my thigh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I
was worried I might get rabies. I had to put some polysporin on it. But you're right. Polysporin?
Neosporin?
No, I think it's called polysporin. It's like that cream that prevents like... You know, like any kind of infections or
something. Yeah, Neosporin. Right?
I think you're mistaken here, Michael.
That might be the Canadian version is the polysporin.
It might be.
and the fact that the dog biting incident was not documented. Oh, it's
different stuff. Polysporin versus neons. Polysporin is a double antibiotic available in various formulations, like ointments and gels.
Okay, good. Glad we cleared that up.
I wish we had more
on the dog biting.
Did you see my tweet from I was flying into Chicago with Joey D? And do you believe this guy, seriously, Michael, turned to me and goes, Bob, I got to go to the bathroom. Do you know where's the bathroom? He asked me where the bathroom is
on the plane.
After I'd on the plane. Yeah, I saw the and tweet. I looked at him and I
said, well, sometimes it's at the front and sometimes it's at the back.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they don't let you use the one in the front. And Bob had already been to the bathroom, so I thought it was a fair question. When you walk down the aisle of a plane, I said this at Smig's house, you might as well be walking. It's like walking down like 10 miles. There's people there. The plane's moving. You're trying not to bump into people. It's a tedious, it's not an enjoyable walk to the point where I won't go to the bathroom on the plane unless it's a dire strait.
Well, you know my feeling about airplane bathrooms, so.
Yeah, oh, Mikey took another picture.
Can we put up, take it, can you go ahead and put up the picture of Mikey V flying on the plane? In the
that was worse than the last time.
Bob, what about him trying to walk through the hotel lot, like the corridor? Yeah, his head was almost at the roof. The sprinkler could have given him a concussion.
There's a picture that somebody sent me from the Barstool stream yesterday when that touchdown was scored, where Jersey Jerry's standing up, and you could
see that's Big Cat. Jerry Big Cat full. Put that picture up. Yeah.
What's that?
Big Cat put that up. He quote tweeted it and put laughing emoji, and my head was completely chopped off.
And Mikey, you can't even see Mikey in the screen. He's above the camera. So it's all of Jersey Jerry. And then it's Mikey's torso as he's standing up cheering.
Did you see Jerry? He addressed that directly today. He tweeted about that.
Oh, he did? Well,
yeah.
Well,
He goes, for all of you who said I'm short yesterday, I have a fun fact for you guys. The guy I was sitting next to at Bear Down Cuz is 6'7". I don't know what else you want from me. I can't magically grow. That's what Jerry put out.
After seeing the Don, seeing Jersey Don's Jerry great, Smigs, man. I said to Joe, I miss that guy so much, dude. I really do. To me, he's one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my life.
I was shocked how well behaved his kid is.
I know his kid's very. That was another thing that was very surreal for me, was watching him as a father.
You were
me.
Fascinated.
What's that?
You were fascinated. You couldn't stop watching.
I really was. That was a really cool experience. It really was.
Will you be fascinated when I have kids?
Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Joe, yeah.
I will
oh,
be.
Oh, yeah.
And center.
What do you mean, Mikey?
Oh,
you don't think I'll be a great Joe. Dad?
Joe.
That's not the point. I just can't wait to watch it.
That will be the greatest show on turf.
You're going to be a great dad. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt about that. I just think it's. I mean, no matter, you're never going to be prepared. For as much as you think you're going to be prepared, you're not. So it's going to just be funny to watch. There's going to be so many crazy things that happen. It's just nuts.
I mean, me and Jerry, when Jerry told me that he was going to have a kid, we talked about content right away, how good content would be. I think it would be even better for Joe.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think about some of the things that Joe would say to the child on camera, and I think it would just be hysterical. I'm curious to see how Joe will talk to the kid, to the baby, because I know the way he talks to my children.
Well-behaved. Yeah. I'll make sure my children are very well behaved.
He's going to be feeding the baby like king crab when the baby's like 2 years old and all types of
beluga caviar.
that'll be a fun watch. Okay, today, fellas, let's head on over to our top five. Today we are doing top five movie villains. This is somehow, some way, this is my. Recommend
you came up with this?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Very odd for you to go movie route.
I know. Okay. I'm not doing myself a favor. By the way, I mean, I thought that I had been doing pretty good in the top fives. I really had a good run going. I got banged on that last one I took a beating by not having.
What was the last one again?
Top five Midnight Snacks.
Did I win that one?
A lot of people even
know.
I crushed Midnight Snacks. It wasn't even close. It was a runaway freight train.
Yeah, he did. And I had the previous ones. I fucked that one up bad. But Ticket was even giving a shit, and I stand by it. Me and Joe took shit for not allowing pizza, and I still stand by pizza is a meal. Pizza is not considered a snack. So as much as
you include pizza, you open Pandora's box. You could do pasta.
Yeah, you can't.
Indian, you could do sandwiches. Whatever.
Yeah, no, because you know why I disagree with that? Because pasta, you need pizza is a snack. Once it's been consumed as the regular meal and it's just laying around and now it's cold pizza, it is a snack because a couple reasons. You don't need utensils. Once you have to get utensils, that makes it a non-snack. Once you
have to get sandwich, you could do with non-utensils.
Yeah.
A sandwich could be considered a snack.
No, I don't agree with that. Okay. Mikey.
Okay, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a meal?
Yeah.
No, yeah. You don't even fucking believe that.
No, I do. I do. But what Joe said is true. You open, if you do pizza, you open a whole new, I mean, then anything comes to me.
I think a midnight cold slice of pie that you grab right out of the fridge that's leftover pie, you grab one slice, I consider that a midnight snack. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Listen, that top five is over. We've moved on.
Yeah. Let's head on to the next one. This is going to be top five movie villains. That's going to really not a whole lot. You like this?
I do.
Okay.
I love movies, so.
I'll start us off. I don't mind starting us off.
Go ahead. Okay.
I had to dig deep. Number five, give me Voldemort. Give me Voldemort from Harry Potter. I think it's an iconic one. Number four, give me Mike Myers from Halloween. Mike Myers from Halloween. Yes, Joseph.
Have you ever watched a single Halloween movie, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I watched enough of Halloween to know Mike Myers from, like, the one that I have in three. I don't remember a ton of. I've seen it before, but I don't remember a ton of it. But I just remember him being an iconic movie villain. You ready for number three?
Sure.
Number three, I got Darth Vader.
You've never watched Star Wars.
I've watched Star Wars, but bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched Star Wars top to bottom and remembered it. Like, as a kid, I
think it's a good one, Bob, but I don't know how you can put him as top villains when you've never watched the full movie.
Do you know why, Joe? Because I don't know if I've seen other movies I don't know if I've seen a movie top to bottom with other villains that I know that well.
As preposterous as that sounds, I will let it slide.
Okay.
Knowing how horrific your movie knowledge is, I will allow that.
Here's the good thing, Joey D. Okay. These next two I could give you a lot about. These next two are villains that I really, really enjoyed. Okay.
Okay.
Give me Bane with Tom Hardy playing Bane. That to me, I loved that. I thought was great. And then number one, my all time favorite, Dark Knight Joker.
That's fine. It's a good play.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
Bane is a terrible one.
Is it really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Of all time, he's not a very good villain.
Oh, I thought he was terrific. I mean, I loved that. I thought he was terrific.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Didn't go over well.
I think people. Well, I just think that people are gonna. Yeah. Thank God, Joe. Thank God he had Joker at one.
Joker's a very good one.
Yeah, because if he had Bane and then didn't back it up with Joker,
I figured one of those was Joker.
I thought Bane would be notoriously loved. I mean, people love him, no?
No.
I mean, Bob, he's not that great a villain. I mean, he might have been good in the movie, but have you ever even heard of Bane in the Batman? You think of the Batman villains. You think Joker, Catwoman, Penguin, maybe Riddler. Maybe even Two-Face. Bane doesn't come till like way later. Yeah. Mikey, would you disagree with me?
I don't.
Bane? No, I don't. I'm fully backing that play. Bane. Yeah. I mean, listen, I get it. I get it. I get why you're saying it. I think it's high number one. I just think there's better villains than that. I think that movie was considered like the worst one of all the Nolan Batman movies.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know why I would recommend that top five. That went awful. That really did.
I have no issue with Voldemort, Mike Myers, Joker, or Darth Vader at all.
Yeah, but even like, but Joe said, and I get it. I don't know a ton about Voldemort. I don't know a ton. Like, I know enough, but I don't know a ton. Yeah, that went real bad. Mikey V, we'll go to you. Damn.
Do you know the backstory behind Darth Vader? Who's he the father of?
He's Luke Skywalker's father. Yeah.
Right.
No, I'm telling you, I had seen Star Wars as a kid. I just don't remember.
What is Darth Vader's actual name?
That I couldn't get you.
Okay.
Yeah, that I mean, I would say Mr. Skywalker, if you ask me.
Oh, my God.
That's what I would say. That's what I would say.
It's Anakin Skywalker. Anakin.
I tell you, man, that
is... There's a movie that
Mr. Skywalker is correct, technically.
That went real bad. That went real. That will go down as that did not go well. That was not smooth. Mikey V, we'll send it to you.
All right. Give me number five, No Country for Old Men. Give me Anton Sugar. Give me Anton Sugar at number five. One of the most iconic.
He was ruthless.
Yeah, he was great. Deciding your fate with a coin flip.
Would kill anyone at any time. Bob, I wish you watched the movie, but I know you haven't.
A ruthless villain. Number four, I'm going to go with Hans Landa. Hans Landa from Inglourious Bastards, who plays the Nazi, obviously. That was one of the best acting jobs I've ever seen, period.
That opening scene when he takes the Uzi and he just starts firing it. I mean, it's heart gut wrenching.
Yeah. Just a perfect movie villain. Incredible. Number three, give me Hannibal Lecter. I'll go with Sir Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter.
Bob has not watched any of these movies.
No, he hasn't. He's going to sit there and I'm not going to throw him under the bus. So Anthony Hopkins is Hannibal Lecter, number three. And then I got two of Bob's. I do. I have Joker, Heath Ledger Joker at number two. And then I actually have Vader at one. I think Vader in American cinema, I think Darth Vader is the most iconic villain character in cinematic history. I do. American cinematic history. I absolutely do. So Vader at one, Joker two. Ledger's Joker.
That's a good list.
Joey D, we'll head over.
Bob has no comment on that list.
Whatsoever. None. I got nothing. I got nothing to give.
That's fine. You gave everything with the Mr. Skywalker comment.
It's your show, Mikey B. I got nothing.
You're good. Joseph?
I have at number five, I have Michael Myers. I think Michael Myers by the way, I've watched tons of the Halloween movies. What's the name of the chick from True Lies who's in it? She's
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic. Even in the newer one, she's like older and she's like just coming at him. The movies are great. He's on a wrecking. It's an awesome movie. Michael Myers at five. And number four, I have yours. I have Anton from No Country for Old Men.
Yep.
This guy is just the epitome of a psychopath.
Yes.
The fact that he even, like, the one guy, remember the part of the movie where the guy who's driving the truck with the pigeons in it pulls over to help him out on the road? And the next thing you see, he's washing the back of the because he's killed the guy. Like, he's just gut-wrenching. And number three, I have Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger, to me, is, you can't escape him. He's in your dreams. He is just, it's terrifying. He's a terrifying villain. Number three, Freddy Krueger. Number two, I have Darth Vader. I think he's just like... Now, the crazy thing to me...
That's Mr. Skywalker to you, Joe.
Yeah, Mr. Skywalker. The crazy thing, why didn't put him number one, I think, is because at the end of The Return of the Jedi, he actually turns and becomes good again and saves Luke. So...
He does save Luke, but he really does wait to the point where he dies.
But in his last breathing moments, he actually turns good. So that's why I don't have a number one. At number one, I have Joker, and I think the best Joker performance is Heath Ledger. That being said, I do think that the new Joker that was done by Joaquin Phoenix was more of a dark, like, very depressing, psychotic role, which was fantastic as well. Joker, to me, he's just no matter who he's played by, even just his presence, he's just evil. And his entire existence is to kill Batman. It's a perfect role. And then I put for honorable mention, I put actually, it was tough because I went back and forth on this, but I actually put, I was thinking about putting Hannibal Lecter. I actually put Jack Torrance from The Shining.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. That's a real good
one. I put him
one.
As my honorable mention. I thought, by the way, you want to talk good performances, Jack Nicholson.
I mean, Jack Nicholson. Amazing. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Amazing. Yeah. And by the way, Bob, that is a movie. When we talked about it, by the way, Mikey V and I talked about this, which we should introduce in a later episode. We are going to start making movie suggestions for Bob, like must watch movies, like regardless that if it comes up in conversation or passing.
Right. No need for a review. No need for a review.
No reviews.
Just 10 movies that I should see just so I can get a part of the conversation.
Correct.
Yeah, look, I have nothing to offer this conversation. And, you know, it sucks. It's a shitty feeling. Honorable mention, I got the Monstars from Space Jam.
Oh my god.
Because look, Space Jam's Space Jam.
Oh my god.
Say what you want. You can laugh all you want. You can laugh all you want. Space Jam's an all-timer, man.
The Monstars weren't bad though, really. It was the head guy. No, it was the guy making them do all that.
The Monstars were scumbags. These guys were total scum. They played dirty.
The guy made them. He was holding them captive on Moron Mountain or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, regardless of who they were made for, they were scumbags. Yeah, there's a lot of scumbag parents out there who created scumbags, but the kid's still a scumbag.
Bob's list for I can't believe you suggested this. This is hilarious.
I know. What a bonehead move, man. I should
have. It's a great top five.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
Honorable mention for me. It was a toss up really between three guys, but I'm gonna go with Hans Gruber. I'm gonna go with Hans Gruber, who's the villain from the original Die Hard. Obviously, one of my favorite movies of all time, and he's just an iconic villain. So,
do we have any issues with that?
No, I think that's a good one. You know who else I was gonna do, and Bob again wouldn't. There's no chance Bob has ever watched this movie, but it's a classic, and she is awful. Like, it just makes you want to hate her. Have you ever watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Nurse Ratched.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
my dad showed me that.
Horrific.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
My dad had shown me
that movie.
Yeah, Jack Nicholas.
Nicholson.
Jack,
Jack Nicholson would be the golfer. Yeah, that's a real bear. Tough look.
What a tough attack.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest featuring the Golden Bear.
The old Ohio State Buckeye
that
himself.
That was tough, man.
GA approved. PGA approved.
What a tough 10 minutes that was. That was a tough 10. That really was. That was a tough 10. Ladies and gentlemen, fellas, I tell you, that was an all-time weekend for the boys. More comment to come, but content to come. Joey D's got his hand up. Joey D?
I just want to say none of us actually bought this, but we would all collectively agree if we had to buy one thing, the Breezy Invitational Tournaments must-buy. Must-buy.
You know what's so nice? Knowing that people spend a lot of money for these things, and when you see that they're and you feel that they are truly bought in, that they're getting their money's worth, and with the open bar the night prior and how much fun people are having, that's a very fulfilling feeling, because you get worried going into it. You want it to be worth it. That was unbelievable. It was great seeing you boys. I love you boys. I appreciate you boys. Like, comment, subscribe to the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We will see you next time.